But today I want to focus, as part of kind of like one of the last few next sessions, on one thing that Jesus said was needed for our Christian lives. But before we get into today's scripture, I want to start by saying that there's a difference between knowing about God versus actually knowing God. Now, did you catch that? Now, knowing about God and knowing God are two entirely different things. You can have all the knowledge about God. You can study scripture. You can go to seminary. You can get all these advanced degrees. You can attend all sorts of BSF classes. You can go to church every week, like most of us are here every week or every day, but you can still not know God. You know, the basic difference between knowing about God and knowing God is actually about a personal relationship. You can know about him, but you don't really know him until you have entered into this personal relationship with God Almighty. For example, okay, how many of you have like a favorite fan? Sports fan, movie star, I don't know, band, like hero, I don't know. I'm not a sports fan, but my wife was like, oh yeah, like Steph Curry. I know nothing about basketball, right? So I kind of like did some search last night about Steph Curry, and like, you know, there are all these stats, all these like, oh, his like dad was a basketball player. I think his brother is a basketball player. Like, it runs in the family, and like, you know, he lives in Alamo. I mean, I found all these random things about Steph Curry. I think we all know who Steph Curry is, right? I think some of you who may be into basketball might know more than others, but do you really know Steph Curry? Probably not, right? You just kind of know the name. You've probably seen him on TV playing basketball. He's like the best shooter, is it? I don't know. Lawrence isn't here. He was supposed to help me out, but I'm sure there are other Warriors fans, right? But anyways, I mean, so you can know about Steph Curry, but until you've actually met him, until you've actually talked to him, until you've actually had an opportunity to share heart to heart, do you really know him? No. Right? You might want to know him. He may not want to know you, but, you know, but that's another story, right? But the thing is there is a difference about knowing about someone and actually knowing someone, right? You know, and you know, the same goes for, like, I don't know, if you know, you have, like, a TV star that you like or whatever person, right, that's famous. But you really have to get to know them on a personal level, right? To engage in a deeper dialogue, conversation, share heart to heart, to really be able to say that you know someone, right? Just like, you know, if you have a significant other or a spouse or a good friend, right? To have a relationship with that person, it takes time, right? You don't just become friends overnight. It takes commitment, you know. So our daughter just started kindergarten a few weeks ago. And I always ask her, did you meet a new friend? She's like, no. I mean, she has this one friend because she is Josiah's friend's sister. And so I think she just sticks to that friend. And we all, like, when I pick her up, they're always holding hands. They're always playing in the sandbox together. So it's really cute. But then I was like, have you met any new friends? And, you know, she kind of says no. But you know, we all know that with a relationship, with a friendship, it takes time, commitment, and investment. You know, it just doesn't happen overnight. I mean, I guess if you start in kindergarten, you know, you might be playing on the swings or playing in the sandbox or whatever, and then things kind of, as you get older, your friendship develops, right? But I know that all of you probably have had childhood friends or a good college friend or a good work friend, or, you know, someone you're sitting next to has been friends for a long time, right? You know, the most amazing thing is that God doesn't just want us to know about him in our heads, but he wants us to really know him in our hearts. He really wants a personal relationship with each one of us. Okay, God doesn't have grandchildren. It's not because your parents were Christian, and so you're Christian, and now you're his grandchild. God has only sons and daughters. He wants to have a relationship with you and me. To experience him as our creator, to experience him as our defender, to experience him as our lover, our provider, our friend, and ultimately as our Abba Father. You know, Christianity is not about a religion, but it's really about a relationship. You know, the God of the universe, the maker of heaven and earth, wants a love relationship with each one of us. I mean, that's pretty mind-boggling, right? Like the awesome God, he actually is interested in you and I. He actually cares about you and I. He actually seeks us out. He wants us to know him intimately. Now, I'm bringing this up because I think for maybe some of us, we may know a lot about God. You know, perhaps we grew up in the church. Perhaps we grew up going to whatever class or, you know, small group Bible study. But maybe for one or two of us or some of us, we still haven't really actually taken the next step to know God in a relationship. We haven't yet, for whatever reason, entered into a relationship with him yet as our loving Heavenly Father, Jesus as our Savior, the Holy Spirit as our, you know, indweller and comforter and guide. Some of us might seem so close, but actually in reality, we may actually be very far away. So it's my encouragement to all of us today that we won't just know about God in our heads, but we will really experience God in our hearts on a day-to-day basis in a relationship kind of format. Now, today's scripture comes from the book of Luke, and it takes place in a town called Bethany at the home of two sisters. Any guesses? Mary and Martha, right? So I'm going to invite you all to stand, and it's just a few verses, but let's read this all together. We might need to, thank you, James, dim the lights because I know that bright light is really shiny. Okay, so let's all read this together. 1, 2, 3. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Thank you. Please be seated. Now, I chose this passage because in this passage, we actually see a few things, a few barriers to actually knowing Jesus as this story unfolds. This may be a familiar passage to many of us, or maybe it's a new passage. And as I go through the verses, Kevin, if you can just scroll through the verses. Now, the first thing that we see is actually the beginning of the passage in verse 38. It actually says, a woman named Martha opened her home to him, right? So she welcomes Jesus. She invites him in. She's like, "Jesus, would you like to come to my house whenever, today, tomorrow, whatever," right? I mean, she seems really hospitable. She wants Jesus to be in her house along with his disciples. It's not just him, but, you know, 12 other people. So like 13 people, right? I don't know how big her house was, but she invites them in. Now, I don't know. How many of you like throwing parties? Yeah? No? Kind of, sort of. It's a lot of work, isn't it? Yeah, it's a lot of work, especially if you have like 13 people, right? You know, but I'm sure some of us like to be hospitable. Okay, maybe not to 13, maybe just to like one or two or a few, right? But it is a lot of work, right? But the thing is she willingly invited them in, right? She invites, and guess what? Jesus shows up, right? But then we quickly see what happens. You know, she's quickly slaving away at all the preparations. And unfortunately, because of her busyness, she's actually not able to be present with Jesus, right? Maybe she's too busy making sure the lamb roast is not being overcooked, right? Or maybe she's too busy setting the table, or maybe milking the goats, or whatever it is, right? But unfortunately, even though she invites, she actually doesn't give him the time of day. Remember, she invited Jesus, right? But she's so busy doing other things that she's not really with Jesus. Now, there may be times where perhaps we've invited Jesus into our lives, into our homes, into our families, where we've said, yes, Lord, take over, come and rule over my life. I surrender to you, or, be the Lord of my family, of my household. Like, we invited him. We actually willingly want him to come in. And then he shows up. But then, No, I didn't want you to show up today. You're a little early. I meant next week or next year, right? Or no, why don't you come back next week, Jesus? I'm not quite ready for you, right? Like, sometimes we invite him, but for whatever reason, we don't give him the time of day. Like, Jesus is, he's waiting for us. You know, he's ready to meet with us. And we're like, I gotta go. Right? I got to talk to someone else before I talk to you. Or this urgent matter just came up, so I need to address this before I come back to you. I mean, how oftentimes do we do that? Where we're like, yes, Lord, come, Lord Jesus. And we invite. But then when he shows up, we don't give him the time of day. We're too busy doing other things. We're not in the moment. We're not present with him. That's the first thing. Mary was hospitable. She did the inviting, but yet she really wasn't present. Okay. If we go on to verse 40, of course you all kind of know the story, right? But basically it says, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Again, maybe she was running late. Maybe she was checking on the lamb roast. Maybe she was doing this, doing that. She was distracted. She was busy. She was doing stuff around the house, making sure everything was okay, right? Not a bad thing, okay? Especially when you have guests, right? Like, of course, you want everything to be presentable. You want everything to be nice. But I think she forgot one thing. She was busy, so busy cooking, preparing the meal, whatever. I think she forgot that this is the same Jesus who fed the 5,000. This is the same Jesus who turned water into wine. This is the same Jesus who could, do all sorts of miracles. Now, why would Martha need to slave and cook away or do whatever cooking or preparing for Jesus when this is Jesus who could just, at the snap of a finger, oh, you want lamb roast? Here, I'll give you lamb roast. You want goat's milk? Here, I'll give you goat's milk, right? Right, but I think a lot of times we think, oh, we need to do this for Jesus. We need to do that for Jesus. We need to do all this busy work before we actually sit and be with Jesus, right? And again, doing the preparation is not necessarily a bad thing, but if it replaces our actual intimacy and our actual relationship with Jesus, then that busy work, that preparation work, does become a bad thing. You know, the word distracted, the sense of this word translated distracted, actually means to be pulled away or to be dragged away from. Right? So she was distracted from Jesus, right? Because she had to do all this stuff, right? She was a doer, right? Now, how many of us like to be doers? I like to be a doer, right? Oh no, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. And even before New Vine, some of you have seen me doing all this stuff. For some of us, a lot of us are like doing all this stuff. Or even like afterwards, a lot of you are like cleaning the tables or like putting the tables away or like in the kitchen, or if Virginia's about to go up to the kitchen, you know, like we're doing things, right? Which is great. You know, it needs to be done, but not the at the expense of being with Jesus, right? Not that some of these doing things is bad. I mean, you know, unfortunately, the kitchen folks need to go up, because if they don't go up, we're not going to eat, right? So thank you to all the kitchen folks that you guys are doing all this stuff. But Martha was a doer, right? But the implication is also that actually she wanted to hear Jesus herself as well. She probably said, hey, that's not fair. How come Mary gets to sit at your feet, and how, why do I have to slave away? Like, wait, what's wrong with this equation? Like, who said that Mary gets to sit and I have to be in the kitchen, right? Someone had to finish preparing the meal, right? But unfortunately, worrying about the details of the meal robbed Martha from the joy of listening to the Lord. You know, Jesus doesn't want a worker or a servant. He wants a son or a daughter. He wants to be in a relationship. It said that Martha was distracted. Now, distracted, to be pulled away, to be dragged away. Now, I know even right now, some of you might be distracted. You might be on your phones. I'm not going to mention names, but I see you. But that's okay. You might be distracted, all right? You might be thinking, what's for dinner tonight? I'm hungry. Can we get done with this? You know, but really, what distracts us in life? Throw out some examples. Kids, number one distraction. Ding, ding, ding. Okay, what else? Maybe not for everyone, but for some of us. What else? Sports, TV, computer, what else? Social media, what else? Phones, come on. Work, what else? Worries, video games, texting, right? It's all of the above, right? It's so easy to get distracted. Even just our thoughts are easily distracted, right? It's hard to focus, right? But what is it? Is it like Martha preparing food, making all the preparations? Is it our busy schedules? Our kids' activities? Maybe our exercise routine? Maybe getting certain steps? Maybe too much TV, too much soap operas, or Chinese soap operas, Korean dramas? Maybe it's our hobbies, right? You know, even the good things or seemingly necessary things, like dinner preparation in Martha's case, can distract us from that intimate relationship that Jesus wants. You know, Martha was not just distracted, but she was probably distraught, right? She was so distraught that she actually took her complaints to Jesus, right? I mean, in verse 40, at the end of verse 40, it says, she came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? I mean, that sounds like a complaint, right? Like, hey, wait, don't you even appreciate what I'm doing, Jesus? Like, I'm doing all this stuff, and she's just sitting there on her lazy bum listening to you. Like, tell her to help me, right? Like, Jesus, don't you care? Don't you know what I'm doing for you? Like, I'm trying to serve you here. Like, poor me, I'm slaving away while my lazy sister, Mary, is just sitting there, right? Just sitting there. Lord, you go rebuke her. You tell her to help me right now, right? Okay, let's be honest. Do you ever have thoughts like that? I know I sometimes do, right? It's like, how come everyone's just sitting around? Like, how come no one's like picking up the chairs, or like, how come I'm always the one like doing this, or like, how come Alice and Bauer are always the one vacuuming, or whatever? How come, you know, whatever, right? It's like, it's so easy to like have this judgmental, have this like, hey, How come you're not pulling your weight? How come you're not doing your share, right? And it's like, don't you care? Well, of course Jesus cares. But I think probably Martha got the wrong thing, okay? She didn't get it right, right? She basically was focusing on herself, right? She wasn't focusing on the bigger picture of where Jesus is wanting not her lamb roast, not her service, but her. Jesus was wanting to spend time in a relationship with Martha. Jesus is like, well, you invited me to your house, right? I don't need this 10-course meal. I just want you. I just want each and every one of you. Now, it's interesting to see Jesus' response. It's quite surprising and probably not what Martha was expecting, okay? Now, he actually addresses her twice. He calls her out twice by name. Martha, Martha, right? Do you remember who else Jesus called twice? Was it Peter? Simon, Simon, right? Okay, so that, I thought that was interesting. Verse 41, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. He saw right through her. He saw into her heart condition, right? She was frazzled. She was worried. She was upset, right? It's like, how could you just sit there while I'm doing all this stuff, right? But again, she was focused on herself. She was focused on her circumstances. She was focused on all the stuff that she had to do. She forgot that she was the one that invited Jesus. She forgot that Jesus actually wanted to be with her, right? Her focus at that point wasn't on the guests that she had invited over. She made it all about herself. And then Jesus said, actually, one thing is needed, right? And that Mary, her sister, had chosen what is better. One thing, that one thing is to sit at the feet of Jesus. That one thing is to enter into a relationship with him. He doesn't need our service. He doesn't need our actions. He just needs and wants, he invites, he desires you and I to be in a relationship with him. Not just saying the sinner's prayer or whatever prayer, but to actually be in daily communion with him. To spend time with him. Not to say, okay, I read my scripture, I'm done. Let's go party. No, to really let the word of God dwell in our hearts, to really meditate, to really share with the Lord our heart, to listen to him. He desires for us all to enter into a deeper intimacy with him. That's the one thing. When was the last time that you actually sat undistracted at Jesus' feet, listening to him, not rattling off a laundry list of things that you want met, but just enjoying the presence of the Abba Father, feeling his embrace, receiving his love, being filled with his joy and his Holy Spirit. When was the last time that you and I cleared our schedules, not being distracted, and just sat at the feet of Jesus? That's the one thing that Jesus is inviting us to. Now, it's interesting that he says, Mary has chosen what is better. We have a choice to make, right? We can choose to be busy. We can choose to be distracted. We can choose to let our circumstances or the things at hand to overwhelm us. And we can choose to worry. We can choose to be upset at other people who aren't doing their thing. We have a choice to make, brothers and sisters. Will we, can we choose that one thing? Can we, will we block out time, hopefully on a daily basis, to really sit at the foot of Jesus and to listen to his heart, to not be distracted, to not think about the millions of things that you need to do. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening attentively to what he may be saying. Jesus wants a relationship. He doesn't want a meal. He doesn't want you to be busy for him. He wants to commune with you. He wants to commune with me. He doesn't want us to be busy serving him at the expense of the relationship. I just want to ask you to reflect as we close. I'm going to actually ask you all to stand and just reflect on these few verses. I kind of sped through some things. But I want you to ask and see, for some of us, do we just know about God? Or do we actually know him? You know, some of us, again, may know about him. Some of us may have all these facts about God, but maybe we haven't actually experienced him in a relationship way. Maybe for some of us, we need to make a commitment to know him. Maybe for some of us that already know him, Jesus tonight is inviting us to a more intimate knowledge of himself. The Lord is inviting us tonight to come before him, to not be busy, to just sit at his feet. He's looking for a relationship. He's not looking for a meal or a service. How is your relationship with the Lord today? How would your relationship with the Lord, how would you want it to be? Tell the Lord, tell him that you want this intimate relationship with him. Tell him that you want to commit to actually sitting at his feet each day. Which of the two sisters do you identify more with? Is it Martha? The busy one? The one who's worried and upset? The one who's a little distraught? Or is it Mary? The one who's just attentively sitting at the foot of Jesus? Maybe it's a little of both. Another thing I want to ask you to do is think about what is actually distracting you from knowing Jesus intimately. And whatever it is that's distracting you, would you lay that down? Would you confess it before the Lord and ask him, surrender it to him and ask him to redeem it. Ask him to take that distraction away. But you need to be willing to let go of that distracting thing. You need to actually have that desire to want to invite Jesus and to want to know him the way that he wants you to know him.